is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Congleton on the Dave Congleton Show, 920 AM and 96.5 FM, while Dave is out recovering from heart surgery. We've got on right now, we've got Walt Heyer, Walt Heyer Ministries. You can find him at Walt Heyer, HEYER.com, and SexChangeRegret.com. Walt, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Why don't you start off by just telling us your story?
Yeah, well, my story started out in 1944, so I'm 78 years old, so that's I got about 74 years in dealing with this issue that today has kind of taken over the whole social structure of transgenderism. So it was in 1944 in Los Angeles, California, and my grandmother began to cross-dress me, and she made me a purple chiffon dress. She obviously really liked how I looked dressed up as a girl, and began to affirm me in that nature. And what I know today, all these years later, is that once you affirm someone at such a young age in a cross-gender identity, what you're really doing is telling them that there's something wrong with them the way they are. So you begin introducing what wasn't known in 1944, the term gender dysphoria. But without the term, then, it was just being confused about who you were, and you had no way of dealing with it. You just looked to adults to give you guidance, nurture you. You don't expect your grandmother or any adult when you're 4 years old to misguide you and say that you look better or give you the impression that you would be better if you were a different gender. And that's what happened to me. And once you implant that, sort of code it into your thinking, which she did for roughly 2.5 years before my parents even knew she was doing it, because it was our little secret during the babysitting events in Highland Park, California, just in L.A. Proper. So, you know, this is where the confusion starts, and this is where the depression starts. This is where the anxiety starts. The depression, because you're not being loved as who you are. You're not being affirmed in who you are. The anxiety comes because you're so young that you don't understand why they think you're better off in a different gender. So what you do is you begin to embrace what the adult is doing. And that's to avoid conflict, at all cost. And you really aren't equipped at the age of 4, 5, 6, or 7 to set up an argument with an adult about what their behavior is, because it's really an adult behavior that's causing the young child a problem. They're planting false ideas. They're confusing the person. They're even causing depression. And I can tell you that it continues. And in my case, there were no internet. There were no psychologists. I was so concerned after Grandma said it's a secret about telling anybody, I didn't even want to tell anybody about it. So I internalized it all, and I grew up with this idea that I was much better off in the purple dress than I was into my tore-up blue jeans and cowboy boots and boy shirt. So that confusion lives with you, and even though I grew up, I was went to high school. I ran track. I was in football. I was athletic. I was very small, about 130 pounds when I was in high school, not very tall. And so my size was not large like many of the guys were. So this kind of haunted me, and I kept thinking about it and trying to dismiss the idea about what Grandma had done, and I didn't really want to talk about it. But I liked girls. I wasn't. I never had any homosexual ideology. I had a girlfriend named Lola Joy Phipps. I had other girlfriends. I grew up, graduated from high school quite properly, And got married in my early 20s, had two children. I went to school. I became an associate design engineer for North American Aviation and worked on the Apollo space missions and translated that into a job with Honda, where I became the National Port Operations Manager and eventually took my engineering background and was one of the people who helped develop the Acura division for Honda. So I had, and all this time I'm married with the kids and living in a nice house and doing quite well, but I was still struggling with what had happened when I was a young boy. I had not dealt with those issues. So in my late 30s, I decided to go, because it was becoming popular at that time, and there were more notoriety about people changing genders. I went to a gender specialist who actually was the author of the original WPATH Standards of Care. At that time, it was called the Harry Benjamin International Standards of Care. This was 1981. And the author at the time of those standards was a guy named Paul Walker. And he had an office in Union Street in San Francisco. And I went to see him and explained to him my dilemma that had started when I was 4 years old with my grandmother, and explained to him that when I was 8 years old, as a result of being cross-dressing, that my a relative began to sexually molest me when I was 8 years old, which added to my depression and anxiety and gender confusion as well. So when I told him about these early childhood findings, he said, well, you have gender identity disorder or gender dysphoria, and the proper treatment for that is hormone therapy and gender reassignment surgery. Well, I'm kind of taken back by that, but yet I hadn't heard of any other alternatives, and so I listened to him and eventually underwent hormone therapy. After 2 years, I'd seen him off and on going through hormone therapy. After 2 years, I told my wife at the time what I was doing. We divorced after 17 years. And in April of 1983, I underwent gender reassignment surgery to fix what Grandma had done in my mind when I was 4 years old. So now I'm 42 years old. So it's just gone on unchecked for 38 years. And so after doing the surgery and going through that whole procedure, I came out the other side, Laura Jensen. Within a short time, I was terminated from my job at Honda. And I eventually became homeless and turned to alcohol and other things, and my life kind of spiraled out of control, living as Laura Jensen, female, without a job. And eventually, I saw a psychologist in South Pasadena, Dr. Guernsey, and we began to look at how we were going to deal with these issues that I've been struggling with for now at this time for over 40 years. So,
Walt, before you go any farther, we need to take a break. We'll continue with Walt's story after this message. You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show on 920 AM and 96.5 FM KVEC. Listening to the Dave Congleton Show on 920 AM and 96.5 FM. This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave. We've got on the line Walt Heyer, Walt Heyer Ministries, and SexChangeRegret.com. Walt's basically telling us his story of growing up, with gender identity dysphoria. And Walt, why don't you continue your story? You're in your mid-40s, and you've undergone hormone therapy and a sex change operation, and continue.
Yeah, and so I was going to see a psychotherapist in South Pasadena, Dr. Guernsey, and I was homeless at the time, and he had a friend in Pleasanton, California, that he knew that had a home, a large home, and he contacted him and said, you know, I think you need to, at the time I was called Laura, take Laura into your home and give Laura, you know, a home to begin to get nurtured and encouraged. And it happened to be a pastor, Pastor Roy Thompson. And so I went and lived with him for a while. I began attending UC Santa Cruz and studying psychology. And once I got into studies of psychology and addictions at UC Santa Cruz, I began to understand that people who, according to the textbooks I was reading, that people with identity disorders, this is 1987, 1988, 1989, and they're saying in the textbooks that they are suffering from what we know as comorbidities or secondary issues, psychological, emotional, and sometimes sexual. And I began to look at these comorbidities or coexisting disorders and wondered, gee, how many people with gender identity really have coexisting disorders that never get properly addressed? And so I began to go deeper into psychotherapy in the Bay Area and realized that people who, not just me, but people who identify as a transgender person, roughly 30% of them suffer from some form of dissociative disorder. Others suffer from anxiety disorders, body dysmorphia, some schizophrenia, obsessive-compulsive disorders, and many disorders are underlying this diagnosis or actually causal in people identifying as a transgender. But unfortunately, what happened to me happens to others, is they're never properly addressed before people enter into hormone therapy and surgery. So I was able, through my pastor friends and attending church through Christ, came to be redeemed and restored, and I regained my life as Walt back in April of 1990 after undergoing surgery in 83. And began to turn my life around and decided that I was going to dig in and dedicate the rest of my life trying to help people who have been given hormone therapy and mutilated through surgical procedures, and help them find a way to prevent going through this procedure. Now, what I've found out since then, oh, and by the way, I'm sober now 33 years, and I'm married to my new wife for almost 22 years. So redemption and restoration in Christ works. But you have to give up the things you think are fun and exciting and that are socially trending. And transgenderism is certainly one of those issues. So we have built a website and a ministry now where we reach 180 countries around the world. I've written 6 books, and we're helping people redeem and restore their lives and find their way back to what we now call detransition instead of transition, which is becoming far more popular today. And we've found out that roughly 20% of the people will express having regret from doing the surgery. We know that about 40% of them will attempt suicide, not because they're not accepted in their new genders. It's because they themselves are frustrated by the fact that they have secondary disorders that were never properly treated, and they're left with a mutilated body, and they're full of hormones, and they say, I want my life back. And that's what's on the first page of my website, Sex Change Regret. It says, you can have your life back. You don't have to live in the misery of a transgender life. Now, what we're finding is between 8 and 15 years, people begin to have regret, and detransition, although I've found them as late as 30 years after surgery to as early as 3 weeks after surgery, having regret. The bulk of them come between about 8 and 15 years. So that's the group that I work with, and my latest book, Trans Life Survivors, has many of the stories written by those people in there. It's a book that was just came out this year. So we're helping people prevent themselves from undergoing needless and unnecessary hormone therapy and gender reassignment surgery just because it's very trendy, it's very popular, it's quite easy to do. It has gained a lot of popularity. It's almost like a trend. It's fun to be transgender today.
We're talking with Walt Heyer, Walt Heyer Ministries. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, if you have questions for Walt, give us a phone call at 805-543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. Walt, how many people who undergo sex change surgery as a percentage kind of who end up regretting it? Is it successful for a majority, a minority? Is it not successful for anyone?
Well, I think you have to break down the categories. People who identify as a transgender, that's just an umbrella term for many different people who fall under this component. Now, some of them are homosexual. In the group that I work with, probably 95% of them are not homosexual. I rarely see a homosexual transgender. The homosexual transgender by some groups would be categorized as a drag queen. We have some people who are heterosexual transgenders that are suffering from disorders like autogynephilia, transvestic fetishes, and or are just plain cross-dressers and went over the line and had the surgery when it was totally unnecessary. So if you begin to break down each group, who is successful and who isn't successful, and come up with percentage numbers, that is absolutely impossible to find. What we do know is that a huge study was done in the UK by a university there. They took 100 studies from around the world.
We got about 15 seconds, Walt. So.
Yeah, we'll come back to it after the break.
Okay. Thank you very much. Got Walt Heyer in here talking about transgenderism on the Dave Congleton Show, 920 KVEC, 96.5 FM. Listening to the Dave Congleton Show on 920 AM and 96.5 FM, KVEC. This is Matt Hoyes sitting in for Dave Congleton as he recovers from heart surgery. We have Walt Heyer of Walt Heyer Ministries on the line. That's WALTHEYER.com and also sexchangeregret.com. Walt's gone through this transgenderism procedure. He lived for, I believe, 8 years as a woman. Let me ask you this. Let's play a little bit of devil's advocate here. Are there some people for which hormone therapy and gender reassignment surgery is the solution to their problems?
100% of the people start out with the idea, totally convinced, thoroughly convinced, that that is the solution. What we know is that of those people, that around 40% of them will attempt suicide because of their distress, for whatever reason.
After the surgery and after the process.
Yes.
Okay.
That report was published by the UK Guardian, July 2004. And what they said was that there are 20% of them have regret. Here's the real problem. They also pointed out in this very extensive study they did from the UK Guardian that came out of the university, that only about 10% of the population is available to be sampled to determine success or failure. So we don't know what happened to 90% of them. We don't know if they desisted, if they died, if they committed suicide, if they have regret, they don't want to participate. But what's most important is that any success that people discuss is only derived from a 10% sample, not from the leaving out 90% of the people. So that is kind of a serious error, and that's pointed out in the UK Guardian study. Now, the UK Guardian study doesn't go into the exact percentages of the people who attempt suicide, but what they say is that after people undergo reassignment surgery, and this is a quote, they are still traumatized to the point of attempting suicide after surgery. So surgery has been touted as a solution for preventing suicide. And again, truths sometimes are lost. And the fact of the matter is that people actually are attempting suicide because of the surgery. So it's not a solution. What you need to deal with, suicide.org makes it real clear. People who attempt suicide, 90% of them are suffering from psychological and emotional disorders that have never been properly addressed or properly treated. And we have a population of people who identify as transgender that actually refuse to acknowledge that any psychological or emotional or even psychiatric issues exist among them, when it's totally false. So you're going to have this population who avoids psychotherapy or proper diagnosis of secondary comorbidities are going to have a much higher rate of suicides, and probably contributes to the fact that they can't find 90% of them to sample to get an accurate count of who is having success and who isn't.
We've got a
Go ahead.
We've got a phone call for you, Walt. Who do we got, Craig?
We got Scott. Go ahead,
Scott.
On. Hello, Matt. Hello, Walter. Hey, I saw a documentary on this last year on Russia Today. There were three people they interviewed. One was from Lompoc, and three of transition and then transition back. And you've got to hear exactly the way you're explaining it. It was like they needed to do the surgery to discover their identity, and it took a while for them to understand that it wasn't exactly what they wanted to do. You know, two remarried. They remarried female. It's the same story as you're explaining it.
I was in that documentary.
Okay, then from Arizona, is that right? Is that right, Arizona?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was a fabulous documentary. You know, I'm just curious, Walter, if someone doesn't feel accepted, and maybe they don't want to do the surgery, maybe transition back. Do they go to another country where they feel accepted? Or what is the solution? Maybe they don't want to do the transition surgery. Maybe it's too risky. I don't know. I'm just curious.
Well, you know, there's I work with a lot of people who don't feel accepted, and that usually is some kind of social issues that they're having, and they can actually work through that. Being accepted, listen, if committing suicide or attempting suicide based on not being accepted, I would have committed suicide a long time ago. We have to find out and really know who we are and put on our big boy pants and realize that there are going to be people who don't like you, who are not going to accept you, but they can't influence you. They can't change who you are. You need to be solid in the idea that you know that detransitioning is what you need, and you will find a group of people today. Right now, there are numerous detransition websites out there that are helping people because there's so many people detransitioning back. And so I just want people, if they're feeling like they're not being accepted, then they need to kind of deal with that component because it's really a psychological or emotional issue. It is not based in any reality. It's just something you feel.
Yeah, there was a video last year. A guy went into a GameStop store, and you know he wasn't quite dressed as a woman, and he wasn't quite dressed as a man, and he got really upset at the salesperson calling him ma'am, and then he got mad, you know, when he called him sir. And I was trying to figure out what he was mad for being called both, and I was just trying to. Obviously, he was very frustrated. And
yeah, well,
I've know a couple of them, and I've seen transition, but I really don't know. I can feel bad for him because it's you think it's genetically, they're genetically born with it, or do you think it's society?
No, the APA came out with a handbook in 2014 and said nobody is born transgender. There is no transgender gene. There is no brain hormone wash. There's something that happened to them early on in their life that caused them to not like who they are, and they began to attempt to try to identify with someone who they're not and become very frustrated by it. But anybody who's dressed half as a woman, half as a man, goes into a store should have every expectation that they're going to be confronted with people who are going to be confused by who they are. That shouldn't be that shouldn't be anything anybody should be surprised by. That should be quite normal. So sometimes I think our transgender people have too great of expectation, and I think sometimes they're playing a little loose with their appearance and maybe even to provoke issues that they can talk about by being a little bit bizarre. And they don't like the outcome, then they should really think a little bit more about what they're doing.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Walt, what should we as a society be doing? It seems like the general thing in the media right now is that, you know, it's Bruce or Caitlyn Jenner or whatever you want to, you know, whichever one you want to call her or him. I'm confused by it,
yeah.
You know,
sure.
And it's we're praising people for doing this. Is that helping?
I don't think so. And I think there's a lot of misnomers, and it would take an 8-hour show to go through this. But Jenner is a prime example. Jenner identifies as a transgender. Most of the people who are in the area of working with this population, like I am, and other doctors like Dr. McHugh and many others, we sit around and discuss these cases we work with every day. Jenner, whether he wants to accept it or not, is probably somebody who's suffering from what we call autogynephilia. And what that is the individual, it's almost always men, dress up in women's clothing. They look at themselves in the mirror, and they become the object of their own affection. In other words, they fall in love with what they see when they're dressed as women, and that becomes their own sexual arousal. And so it's a sexual fetish disorder. And there's so many small little categories that make up the group who identify as transgender that people ought to be confused by who they are and who they're not. Others are just plain cross-dressers. Some of them are transvestites. Some of them have a transvestite fetish. So that we have all these and many of them are suffering from body dysmorphic disorder, schizophrenia. And so that's what's so critical in trying to prevent them from committing suicide and having regret, is to sit down like I do with them. When they write me about having regret, I try to find out what happened. And what I've found is that roughly 50% of the population that I've worked with, the hundreds that I've worked with over the last 9 years, were sexually abused as young people, anywhere from the age of 4 to 12 or 13 years old. And that sexual abuse issue that they had caused them to not, especially, I'm talking boys now, boys who are sexually abused by a male of any age that's older than that person, they want to rid themselves of their genitalia because of the sexual abuse so that they will, now get this is real critical, so that they will never be abused again. In other words, they think if their genitalia is gone, they will not be sexually abused. And so this is their protection against sexual abuse by identifying as a transgender. Now, in the female side, the female who becomes a male, they oftentimes identify as a male also as a way to protect themselves from being sexually abused again. So they feel like if they're stronger, they're macho, they're butch, whatever that is that they're presenting, it's a way of driving away anybody who otherwise might attempt to sexually abuse them. So in both cases, male and female, probably half of them are doing it to protect themselves from being sexually abused again. I've had recently wrote an article in the Daily Signal about somebody who was sexually abused as an infant by their father, and second time was abused at the age of 14 by the father. So people don't want to be sexually abused. It's a crime. It's criminal. And the people who do it should be locked up and put in jail. But by the same token, people who are sexually abused so badly should not be given hormone therapy and have their body parts rearranged as a way of trying to treat some sexual trauma or a sexual crime that happened to them by an adult or a neighbor or somebody else who caused this to them. So these are real critical, real serious issues. And being sexually abused and identifying as a transgender does not make you a transgender. It makes you a person with deep psychological and psychiatric issues trying to find a way to cope with a crime that was committed against you, and you're a victim of that crime. And further, the crime would be to give them hormones and start cutting, if it's a girl, cut their breasts off so that they can identify as a guy. So the community who's addressing the sexual issues by changing them to a different gender is actually committing, in my view, a crime as well, and abusing that person even a second time.
Okay,
I will say, affirming a young person in a cross-gender identity, I'm sorry, is child abuse. I can tell you it is absolute unadulterated child abuse, and it should not be done.
You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. This is Matt Hoy, guest hosting. We're with Walt Heyer, Walt Heyer Ministries, sexchangeregret.com. We'll be right back after these messages. This is the Dave Congleton Show on 920 AM and 96.5 FM. This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave. We've got Walt Heyer on the line. Walt's talking to us about transgenderism. He is someone who has experienced it and is now kind of dealing with the fallout with other people and trying to help them get through that. Walt, what sort of pushback have you gotten on what you've been saying and what you've been writing about? It doesn't seem like it's the kind of what most media outlets want to report, or what they do report, frankly.
I don't pay too much attention to the pushback. Everything that I write Everything that I document is all well researched. It's not opinion. When I started my website in 2009, I had 700 people the first year. Now I get 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 people a month. So I'm doing a service that's helping people. I just helped a pharmacist detransition. I just helped a school teacher after being a school teacher, teaching in grade school for 14 years, detransition. And so I work with people who know that they made a mistake, that they were improperly guided into taking hormone therapy and given inappropriate and reckless surgery. And I want to help the people find their way back. I've been doing it, like I said, since 2009 for free. And this is just what I do because it's so important. There's nobody there for them when they hit the wall. And so I don't pay too much attention to the people who disagree with me. I pay 100% attention to the people who need help. And quite frankly, I have great relation with all of them, and they're spread all over the country and even around the world, including the UK and Australia and some South American countries as well. So my wife and I have a little saying, I don't really give a rip about the people who don't like what I'm doing because the people who do like what I'm doing are the ones I'm helping.
Great. Well, before the break, you talked about how, starting to transition, giving these suppressive drugs that suppress, puberty and that sort of stuff to kids is child abuse. Seeing more and more of, just this week you had a judge up in Canada say that, over a father's objections that a 14-year-old girl, I believe, it's okay to give her drugs to help her transition to a boy. How should we institute a legal regime, I'm guessing, that kind of stops this from happening to minors? I mean, minors can't get, at least in California, they're not allowed to go to tanning salons anymore. They can take drugs which, do changes to their body that may be irreversible.
Yeah, this is the insanity, and this is what happens. I used to live in California. I was born and raised in California. This is what happens when you have a very, try to be polite here, very liberal position on these things. They really, I'm sorry to say, do not care about the consequences down the road. They only care about growing the number of people who are entering these transitions because they're making a great deal of money off of it. And that's one of the reasons why I do it for free, because that puts me in contrast to them. I'm helping people. They're hurting people in the long term. This may be all fun and games for them early on, but when I get the people, when they've had the hormones and stuff put in them, and they contact me at age 22 and say, my life is in misery, it's in shambles, can you help me? And so they don't care about them then. They will go to the LGBT clinics or back to the therapist, and the therapist always tells them, you're going to be fine, just hang in there, you just need to give it more time. And they go, I don't want to give it more time, I'm done with it. And they just tell them to hang in. They have no idea how much harm they're doing, and furthermore, they don't really care. So somebody has to care, and I guarantee you, when I'm dead and gone, people will be reading my stuff and say, he was right all along. We're just in a season where this is all what I call everybody's in the bar, they're drinking the drinks, they're getting drunk on this stuff, and the hangover is going to come the next day. I don't know when that next day is, but they're all going to wake up and go, what have we been doing? These people's lives are crashing. They're ruined. They're destroyed. Now, how do we bring it back? We're ruining an entire generation with this nonsense. Our schools have become nothing but transgender centers. Public schools really are quite rotten. And we don't do reading, writing, and arithmetic and prepare kids to go out and work. We just prepare them to change genders and how not to be offended by one another. It's sickening to me.
Walt, thank you for coming on. People can find you at sexchangeregret.com or WaltHeyer, HEYER.com. Books are available on Amazon. This is the Dave Congleton Show. I will see you first thing tomorrow.